Hello and welcome to iVow. I'm Jenny Prisk and delighted to have you join us for this podcast conversation where I have the pleasure of interviewing today Maggie Thatch Morshed. She is a former sports journalist whose byline has appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle, the Fresno Bee, the Sacramento Bee, and other news outlets across the country. She is an award-winning journalist, and she was a college sports reporter at the Salt Lake Tribune. Maggie has a master's in fine arts and creative nonfiction from the University of California at Riverside. And in 2015, she worked with peacemaker Glenda Wilskut of South Africa and wrote the narrative, A Bridge to Truth. So welcome back to our conversation, or to our second conversation, Maggie. And I actually have to introduce you now as Maggie Thatch Morshed, because you've married since we met last.
Yes, I believe the last podcast was right before my wedding.
I believe it was. And despite all the nerves you must have been feeling, you were very calm and very relaxed. And we're very happy to welcome you back today as the peace writer for the woman peacemaker, Jane Anyango of Kenya. So you've been through this experience once. You're going through it a second time. What's it like?
Wow, that's a big question. Obviously, I love the program. That's why I'm so happy to be back. I think that first time, I didn't know what to expect. But coming out of it, I was just in so much awe. And I knew that coming into this year's program. And those expectations were met again this year. It is such a different kind of story, different approaches of writing that story, mm-hmm. especially because I feel like Jane is really in the middle of her peace work right now. She is right in the middle of it. It's ongoing. She thinks about it all the time. Whereas I think Glenda's work, what we focused on was her work with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which was a few decades ago. Mm-hmm. So it was just a different perspective, mm-hmm. and a reason why I chose to write this year's story in present tense to elicit an urgent feeling, because everything that she's doing is in the now. Mm-hmm. But the stories have the same impact on me. They inspire me in the same ways. They challenge me in the same ways. And it's such an amazing experience to be back, to be doing it again.
I'm delighted to hear you say that you are enjoying it again, that it's something that you're very glad you signed up for a second time. So not all of our listeners have heard your interview about Glenda. So I'm just wondering if you can tell us, how does that relationship develop between you and Jane?
I never want to make comparisons, but it is interesting to see how my different relationships with the two peacemakers have developed. I feel like my relationship with Glenda was more of a, last year, I need to be careful, last year I said it was like a great aunt, but later on I revised it and said it was more like a big sister, little sister relationship.
I remember that.
but it was very maternal. I felt like she was a motherly role model to me. This year with Jane, I feel like we really connect with volleyball. She uses volleyball mm-hmm. to empower young girls in Polycom Development Group. It's just a program to help young girls empower themselves, give them knowledge about their bodies, their surroundings, their rights. And volleyball is Jane's favorite sport, and she uses that to show the girls that they can be powerful. And I love volleyball. I play a lot. I play a lot of beach volleyball. I love watching the team here at USD. Mm-hmm. And I brought Jane to those games. And we've really connected in that way.
Oh, how wonderful.
So we've connected as fans. We are the Toreros' number one fans. Maybe she's number one and I'm number two. But we really have bonded over that.
Yes.
And the connection is just as strong. A little bit different, but just as strong.
That's really good to hear. Do you think she's gaining anything from watching volleyball here that she'll take back to the Polycom program? And if I can just introduce for our listeners that the Polycom program was developed inside the Kibera slum outside the city of Nairobi. Am I correct on that?
Right.
And so do you think she's learned anything to take back? Has it
I think she was telling me that the type of volleyball that is played in Kibera is very friendly, mm-hmm. meaning there's not a, it's not about spiking the ball and very competitive. It's very team-oriented, and both sides are happy if the ball goes over the net. Mm-hmm. But that's not how volleyball at the Division I level mm-hmm. in college mm-hmm. is played. So I think she was very inspired by the power of those players. Those players are amazing. Mm-hmm. They're very resilient. I think that she's very inspired by the way that they play. Mm-hmm. And I think that's definitely something she wants to bring back to Kibera.
That's good to hear. Now, you were originally a sports writer, and hence this wonderful connection with Jane also. But I'm just thinking that I know for Glenda and also now for Jane, and I want to now stay with Jane, the narrative is a different way of writing, isn't it? So can you tell us a bit about how you approach the writing of Jane's story?
Yes, I was a former sports writer, so a lot of it is what you observe. Mm-hmm. And third person, you're from a distance. Mm-hmm. And in the past few years, I've also been working on my own memoir, which is, of course, personal experiences. Mm-hmm. And I must say, as a writer, it's very challenging to write something and push yourself to remember or push yourself to come to a conclusion. But I cannot do that with Jane's story. I cannot come to a conclusion on my own about mm-hmm. something that Jane experienced. So those things are really challenging in the writing process. And, you know, this program is great, but it doesn't come without its challenges. But I welcome those challenges. And those challenges really push me as a writer, make mm-hmm. me think a lot about, you know, who am I writing for? Mm-hmm. Who's reading this? Mm-hmm. What is the point of this? Mm-hmm. What can they gain from this? So I think all of those questions are constantly in the back of my mind as I write Jane's story.
Mm-hmm. Does emotion come to the fore very much when you're hearing of her story and the things that she's affecting in her country?
I think that Jane is a very strong person, and she hasn't gotten emotional too many times in our interviews together, but when she does, that tells me that it is something very of a big magnitude. It means a lot to her. I think for Jane, showing emotion is very human, mm-hmm. but it's not something I see her do a lot, which tells me a lot about her strength and mm-hmm. what she's seen. Mm-hmm. I feel emotional. I hear things that are gut-wrenching, and my stomach drops, and my voice raises, and I realize that that's not the right reaction mm-hmm. because that's not showing that I'm willing to be open. Mm-hmm. And so it has helped me in talking to her and realizing how she deals with emotion has helped me temper my emotions and ask myself, why do I feel this? Is this the right reaction? Do I want to impose my emotion on her? Because it's not always, you know, stories don't affect two people the same exact way.
Right.
So I sense that there is emotion in there, but in terms of the way that I see emotion being displayed is not always the same with her, and I have to realize that that is a very human thing. People express emotions differently.
And so there's a lot of learning for you in these yeah. experiences, isn't there? Quite a learning curve. Now, what we're delighted about is that you, I can see in front of you, have a page from one of the narratives, one of the stories that you've written about Jane. So, Maggie, I'd love you to give us some background, you know, how you got to this piece, and then if you would read it for us, please.
Sure. So, Jane is from Kibera, one of the largest slums in sub-Saharan Africa, and I think what makes her such a unique peacemaker is that she lives in the same place as the people she's trying to help. So she really understands the struggle. She really understands the issues. And I feel like Kibera is itself a main character in her story. So that is a little bit of context for this. Actually, this is an iVow exclusive. Jane has not read this yet.
Oh my goodness, we are so fortunate.
So I hope that she likes it, and I hope that it's kept, because I really think it shows how much Kibera is a factor in her story.
Mm-hmm. Now you've made it even more interesting, so please go ahead.
Okay. In Kibera, the skies start opening up in mid-March. Rain falls softly at first, then the skies turn sinister. A deluge of angry rain falls over Kibera. Here, rain is not cleansing. It is not healing. Rain in Kibera is something to fear. It is powerful and destructive. Rain rivers swell with the help of the slum's numerous open drainage ditches. Raging brown water swallows everything in its way. Flooding keeps people up at night and prevents children from going to school. Sometimes it destroys entire houses. The ground can only take so much. Most of the rain cascades by in a brisk torrent, but some of that water will be absorbed by and stay with the ground. That is Jane. Jane is the hard Kibera earth. In Jane's work with both Polycom Development Project and Kibera Women for Peace and Fairness, Jane has worked with young girls all the way up to women who could be her mother. Jane has heard stories of sexual assault, domestic abuse, abandonment, rape, and incest. Just when she thinks she has heard the worst story she's ever heard, another one comes and takes its place. Jane was across from Sifa, a girl who had come to Kibera with her siblings, Tom and Alan, after her parents died. Sifa's face scrunched up and her eyes became slits behind her thick glasses. She pulled her face intimately close to Jane's. The glasses improved Sifa's vision, but just barely. The prescription was from years ago. "I'm sensing that something is going on with you," Jane said. "What's wrong?" "I have these huge balances for school," Sifa said. "I may have to stop going." Jane could tell by Sifa's slumped shoulders and the way that anxiety seemed to create a permanent cloud over her face that this was a girl who had lost all hope. "I know it has been tough on you," Jane said. "Alan has already eaten here, so you don't have to worry about him tonight. Come back to me in a week. I might have something for you." After Sifa and Alan left, Jane got online and Facebook messaged Anjali, a woman in San Francisco. Anjali agreed to help and sent Jane $450. Jane got another woman in Australia to send $100 a month. Jane put in some money herself so that Sifa could pay off her balance of $1,100. Jane even saved some of that money to get her some essentials, soap, lotion, and sanitary pads. That was the boost Sifa needed. She didn't squander the opportunity Jane gave her. Now she is at Kenyatta University in Nairobi, taking courses in medicine and surgery. Maybe one day she'll be a nurse or a doctor. Maybe she'll work in Kibera and inspire another young girl. These are the stories Jane holds on to, the ones that remind her that her work is good and her work is important. Yes, sometimes the stories can be heavy, but like rain, they can be nourishing too.
Oh my goodness, Maggie, that is beautifully written. I would be doubtful that Jane would not approve that. So compelling and just so much hope in it and so much courage. The fact that Jane reaches out, not just in her own country, but around the world.
Yeah, I really believe that Jane is a connector. Mm-hmm. Jane, I think the most important thing about what she does is that she listens. She truly listens. Mm-hmm. She tries to understand. She tries to empathize, and then she goes to work. Mm-hmm. And she tries to create a network, she tries to reach out, and she is that bridge. And what's crazy to me about these types of stories is that $1,100 doesn't seem like a lot of money, but it is really life-changing mm-hmm. for a girl in Kibera mm-hmm. who feels hopeless and scared, and that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm. It's not that much, is it?
It's not
really
that much.
Not to us.
Right, and that's what blows me away too, is how lucky we are to be here and how much people would die for an opportunity like mm-hmm. we have. Mm-hmm. So when I hear these, and this is just one of many.
I'm sure.
I could have written many, many more just like this, but that's what Jane does. She's a connector. Mm-hmm. She really makes dreams come true, mm-hmm. as cheesy as that sounds, but that's all that young people want to do is go to school, and she makes that happen for so many people.
Mm-hmm. How has this changed you? I know working with Glenda, you know, it has an impact. How has Jane's life and Jane's story changed you?
That is a question that I constantly ask myself, because I think it's important to always hold myself accountable, mm-hmm. always try to be a better person, and when I say better, I mean more empathetic and more open and more thoughtful. Those are the things that I always hope to challenge myself to do. Mm-hmm. With Jane, I have learned that there's more to just trite sayings. I think it's very easy to say, oh, you know, be thankful for what you have, or go to school, do your best. It's very, really easy to dismiss these sayings and just think, oh, that's a great way to think. Mm-hmm. But for her, I think she breathes life into these trite sayings. She really means it when she says, I think her favorite saying is, yours is your best and mine is my best, and we have to respect that in each other.
It's a powerful expression.
I think it is, and I think that you can be duped by its simplicity. But when you really sit down with that, I think it opens the door for a lot of empathy and understanding. Mm-hmm. And Jane makes me question a lot of ways to look at situations. If I come to a conclusion, what made me come to that conclusion? Is that the right conclusion to have? Is there another side to things? Because I believe that, and that's not something that she's told me. I have taken that from her because she's modeled it for me to see.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the fact that she's now shared her story with you, and it's documented on the website, you know, at USD and the Peace and Justice School, if the story gets out and more people read it and more learn about what she's doing, do you think it will impact her work?
Yeah, I really do. I think that the fact that she lives in Kibera, she is a proud slum woman. She's not ashamed to be from the slums. She brings a lot of knowledge and experience. And I think a lot of frustration about trying to improve Kibera, because there's no shortage of people or governments or organizations, who try to come in to try to fix what's going on there. But there is a serious, at least from what I have heard from Jane, is that there's a lot of miscommunication, not a lot of working together in collaboration. And I think that's what Jane can do. So I think the more people who hear her stance of, you know, these things can be easily worked out if we can work together. Mm-hmm. I think to hear that from someone who lives in Kibera, not someone who just watches over Kibera, is very impactful. I think she has that power.
Yes, yes, and I think you've helped with your narrative to get that need for power and the need for change at Kibera to get that out. Maggie, I'm sad to say that our time is almost over here. And once you open up the story, of course, you know, we'd love to chat on for hours. But I just wondered if there are any final thoughts that you would like to close with about Jane or about the writing experience. And I'll let you have the final word.
I think, you know, you mentioned earlier that I was a sports journalist. Mm-hmm. And my first love was sports. And then it was writing. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about this, and I think the reason I fell in love with sports was its ability to connect people. I thought that it really brought out the humanity in a lot of people. But the more I think about it, the more I believe now that it is the writing that brings out the humanity in people, that writing is the true connector. And I'm really happy to transfer those skills into this field and to hear stories that are often overlooked and are often ignored, and I'm glad to be to provide some kind of voice to stories that need to be told, and I'm so excited to be able to help put Jane's story out there.
Well, on those fine words, I want to thank you, Maggie Thatch Morshed, for joining us on iVow for this conversation today. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much, Jenny.